Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, right here coming to you live from Studio S, right here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. And before we dive into sports talk, yes, we will talk Michigan State men's basketball as they got a win over Illinois on the road last night. Yes, we will elaborate on the MSU football hiring of Don Treadwell. Yes, we will briefly talk about the Super Bowl. But I got to get something off my chest. It seems as though every single day, dating back to last week, as we have been following the Larry Nassar sentencing, I feel like every single day I'm reading a story that just really irks me. And this one, quite honestly, just angered me. I couldn't believe what I heard from a Michigan State trustee today. I don't even know if anger is the word. Rage is probably more fitting. Michigan State trustee Joel Ferguson, who is the vice chairman of the board, he was a guest on Stout on Sports. Tim Stout, longtime sports director at WILX TV 10. He has a morning sports talk radio show. And trustee Joel Ferguson was a guest of his on that program. And of course, Tim Stout was going to ask Joel about the board backing Michigan State president Luana K. Simon. That question, that obvious question, was going to be asked. But what I heard from trustee Ferguson, his response to that question, absolutely enraged me. Just want to read a few quotes from that interview. 7:30 WVFN AM. Tim Stout, when he asked Joel Ferguson about many people calling for Luana K. Simon to step down as president of Michigan State University in the wake of the Larry Nassar sex abuse scandal, Joel Ferguson said, quote, "That will not happen, period. She's a fighter. Her overall, what she's done for the university, she's not going to get ran out of there by what somebody else did. I've been on the board for 30 years, and she by far is the best president we've ever had. End quote. Now, I'm not surprised by that quote. Not surprised at all. The board already, after having this long meeting on Friday, came out and collectively voiced their support for Luana Simon. I knew that quote was coming. Now, we did see Saturday, though, Mitch Lyons come out and, you know, as we highlighted on yesterday's Current Sports, Mitch Lyons is not supporting the board's decision. But this is what really got under my skin. As Ferguson elaborated on the board's support for Luana Simon, Ferguson said it was a quick decision for the board as a whole to support Simon. This is what he had to say. Quote, "The meeting we had the other day was 5 hours. And talking Luana was 10 minutes. We unanimously decided in that meeting right away we were going to support her staying as president." And hold on tight for this next quote. "There's so many more things going on at the university than just this Nassar thing." I'll read that quote again. Quote, "There's so many more things going on at the university than just this Nassar thing." That is what Michigan State board trustee, vice chairman of the board, Joel Ferguson, had to say concerning the Larry Nassar sentencing. I'm in absolute disgust by those comments. The lack of sympathy. The tone deaf emotion that quote comes off as. I could not believe what I was hearing. And what is one of the largest sexual abuse scandals in the history of our nation? One, you only spent 10 minutes discussing the person who is in the leadership position of the university in which this happened under for countless years. You spent 10 minutes discussing it. And then to have such lack of awareness, such emotional stupidity to say there's more things going on at the university than just this Nassar thing, as just to blow it off as some run-of-the-mill controversy at the university, beyond me. Absolutely beyond me. And when reading that quote, when hearing it, first off, I almost drove off the road after hearing it. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. But after hearing that quote, you know what that says to MSU alum out there? What it says to the survivors who are coming forth and sharing their very troubling stories in court? You know what this says about Michigan State University leadership? It shows that there are problems bigger than what we initially perceived. It really does. I was beside myself. I could not believe what I heard. I just had to address that because in addition to the many emotions that go through your mind, that have gone through our minds when looking at what has taken place. We're now day six of the Larry Nassar sentencing hearings. In addition to that, you would think that Michigan State University's leadership would come off as more sympathetic, would come off in a way that is comforting. In fact, they've done the exact opposite and fanned the flames, if anything. I'm beside myself. I don't know what else to say. As an MSU alum, I don't know if I can put on the green and white and be proud right now. Heck, I do know. I'm not. I can't do that. I can't. As we proceed throughout this hour, we will be rolling in an interview with our very own Katie Cook, who has been following the Larry Nassar sentencing in court. She has been in court providing outstanding coverage for us. She has been live tweeting just about each and every victim impact statement. Boy, oh boy, you talk about an emotional recount of what has happened in court. If you just visit our WKAR News Twitter page, oh man, I've been doing my best to try and retweet most of it. But our very own Katie Cook, she will join us in just a moment. Pre-recorded an interview with Katie live from court as the court took a lunch break from 12 to 1. So as I speak, Katie is continuing to provide updates to our social media following. But you'll get to hear that interview in just a moment. You'll also get to hear a very heavy moment in court. I mean, what moment hasn't been heavy, right, when discussing this? But one of the survivors read a poem in court that really tugs on the heartstrings. And we'll take your calls. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from Michigan State alum, Michigan State supporters. After hearing what a trustee member had to say in Joel Ferguson, saying that the board only discussed in a meeting that was 5 hours long, the board discussed Luana Simons' stand as president for only 10 minutes. 10 minutes. And then for Joe Ferguson to say, quote, there's so many more things going on at the university than just this Nassar thing. I can only imagine what many of you are thinking right now. We want you to share those thoughts. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, follow our coverage at WKAR News, or if you want to tweet the show directly, at WKAR_sports is the show's official Twitter handle. Or you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Again, the number to call, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I just need a break here, Ian, just to kind of regather ourselves as the hour moves along here. I want to take an early break. I never do this at 1:15, but I want to take our first break right now. When we come back, we'll get to your calls. We'll get to our current sports, quick hit headliners, and you get a chance to hear from our very own Katie Cook as she provides updates from day six of the Larry Nassar sentencing hearings. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just took an early break. Just wrapped up segment A discussing the tone-deaf comments made on Stout on Sports, 730 WVFN and AM, as trustee member Joe Ferguson, vice chairman of the Michigan State University Board. He discussed the board's backing of President Luana K. Simon in the wake of the Larry Nassar sex abuse scandal, saying that during last week's meeting on Friday, which was over 5 hours, they spent exactly about, 10 minutes discussing Luana Simon. And then Joe Ferguson went on to say, quote, there's so many more things going on at the university than just this Nassar thing, end quote. You heard my thoughts on those ridiculous comments. What are yours? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Line one, John from Holt. John, thank you so much for your call.
Hey, how are you, sir? I'm going to be very brief, but I know how you are. I can feel your pain. Not only your pain, but the pain and suffering of each and every individual that was harmed by this doctor on the watch of Dr. Luke Simon, president of Michigan State University. Now look, the same situation happened on the campus of Penn State, and those gatekeepers for years, the very ones that are getting charged watching, let me use the analogy of the sheep, and allow a wolf to come in, and because wolves like meat, and they come in and devour young boys. And the same wolf that the gatekeepers, the responsible people, allow the wolf to come in and devour these young girls. And the pain and suffering that the parents and alumni and people like you and me have to sit back and watch and discuss and vex by some of the conversations heard in the court. And I understand your pain. And your pain, you shall be healed by how you feel. But yes, as alumni, and to hear the trustees make such a slight, brief statement like that in such an hour of disgust, I understand what you're saying. And it's the same thing that they did. Look, Joe Paterno was a man, too, that had made a lot of commitments and did a lot for the University of Penn State. But look what happened. He went down, and not only that, the statue went down. I understand about Luana Simon and her accomplishment of the fifth and all the other things she's done. But those things right now don't really matter. It just shouldn't oversee what's going on right now. And everybody's calling for her resignation. If I would just, like I said, you allow a wolf, you are the gatekeeper. You're responsible for your flock. The same thing as a pastor. If he's responsible for his flock and allow someone to come in and devour the whole congregation And the trustee's saying, no, he's done this and done that, and he's built this mega church and blah, blah, blah. Hey, look, you know what? Those don't mean nothing. He has to go. And anybody else like that, it doesn't matter what you are, the president of you, it doesn't matter who you're president of, whatever. And I like Joe Ferguson. I have much respect for him, with all due respect for him. But the moral compass and his moral lens need to be recalibrated. That's all I got to say, sir.
John from Holt. John, thank you so much for your comments. Appreciate it. Line two, Jack from Okemos. Welcome to Current Sports.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. Like the other fellow, I will be brief, but I share my opinion as an alumni. My family is alumni of Michigan State University, and within my family, certainly my daughters of Michigan State University, and working so much with the journalism department. But I just want to share your outrage, and I've been saying it for some time, and a lot of times to deaf ears, within my circle of friends, and I just don't understand that. But I do know this. I know that when a heinous act or series of acts like this has been committed, and you happen to wear the hat of the president of the university, and you don't respond, and you don't respond in a timely manner, and when you do respond, you leave it for others to make the decision, I don't care about your resignation. If you want to resign, go ahead and do it, because if you don't resign, you're going to be removed, and you're going to be removed expediently. And the longer this goes on, the longer it's an open wound. So I hope a lot of other people feel similar, and that's my opinion. Thank you.
Jack from Okemos. Jack, thank you for your call. Much appreciated. Let's go back to line one. We've got Apachu from Williamston who wants to chime in. Apachu, you are on WKAR's Current Sports.
Thank you very much. First of all, thank you for your courage. You know, they said there's an old saying, you don't bite the hand that feeds you. Then there's another saying, you don't bite the hand that feeds you unless it's feeding you slop. And you're speaking the truth, and I appreciate that. It's a difficult stand, and I appreciate your radio station. You know, I'm not a State fan, even though I went to State for a short while. But it reflects the community. As a grandfather and my wife being a grandmother, we got to keep an eye on the children. And institutions of power have a tendency to sometimes, when they feel threatened, to become acquiescent in their behavior. And for Mr. Ferguson to make that comment is indicative of what the girls were saying. And God bless those young ladies. They were saying that they were being turned away. They were being denied access to resolving this issue and so forth, and they suffered and they suffered. I was very offended early in the year when I was listening to a football game in which Penn State was playing and winning, and the commentator said, I'm so happy for Penn State because these fans have suffered so much. Those fans didn't suffer. Those young kids and their parents are still suffering. This is a serious issue. And this is the Michigan State University radio station, and I respect you guys, and I'm not going to tear into you, because this could very easily happen or will happen at University of Michigan and any other institution in this country. So we have to, as a community at large and as a nation at large, we really have to go after this and set an example and let everybody know that at some point in time, the light will shine on you and you will be revealed. That regardless of your connection or knowledge, if you don't respond and correct these issues, they're going to be corrected in a very negative way. Michigan State University has a beautiful image that is in danger right now. So I just want to say to the young people that spoke, you have a lot of courage, and thank you for coming forward. And as parents, as grandmothers and grandfathers, we need to keep track of them and let them know that we want to help where we can help. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Apachu from Williamson. Apachu, very well said. Much appreciated, and thank you to three callers there. Again, if you want to let your voice be heard on this, 517-355-WKAR. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And you just heard from those three callers. And, you know, they put in perspective how many, many MSU alum, how many MSU students, how many MSU fans and anybody who roots for this university feel right now when you hear the quote-unquote leadership here at Michigan State University say something so idiotic as Trustee Joe Ferguson said on Stout on Sports this week. Could not believe it. Could not believe it. And, you know, I'm really running out of the words to say when it comes to Joe Ferguson, when it comes to how Michigan State has mishandled this. And, you know, now we're talking about, you know, day six of the Larry Nassar sentencing hearing. And, you know, I've spent these past 6 days in the morning listening to the strong, brave, courageous survivors come forth. And you know, multiple times, you know, I've tried to sit back and say, oh, my goodness. I mean, how would I feel if something like that happened to me? How would I feel having to face that individual who abused me, who in many ways took my livelihood and comfort away from me, have to look that person in the eyes and share what happened to me, not only in front of the, you know, the person who abused me, but in front of the world, in court. I will never know what that's like. And that takes a tremendous amount of courage. And you would think the individuals, the institutions that these individuals are in charge of, in which this happened under their watch, you would think that those individuals, when hearing these testimonies come forth throughout 6 days now, you would think they would get it to some kind of degree, would have more sympathy, more compassion. And what I heard from Joe Ferguson is disgusting. What I want to do right now, as you continue to call in, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Our very own Katie Cook, who has been following this, the sentencing hearings, since the beginning. She has been in court and is still in court right now. And as I speak, she is live tweeting as many survivors continue to come forth. We are expected now to hear around 155 victim impact statements. Katie Cook is in court right now. The court paused from 12 noon to 1 p.m. for lunch. And during that time, before I took the airwaves, I got a chance to chat with Katie about what has taken place today. As she put into context what the mood has been like, what the scene has been like in the courtroom, and I want to play that conversation right now. All right, Katie, first off, can you just kind of describe, I mean, this is day six of the sentencing hearings in which we've seen many victims, over 100 victims or survivors, I should say, come forth and share their testimonies. What has it been like here on day six, dating back to this morning?
Well, you know, today has been today and yesterday were both kind of the same in terms of, I think the energy in the room has started to switch. When it started, the first day, it was a very sad, somber. The testimonies were emotional, and they continue to be emotional. But I have sensed kind of a shift where the victims who are speaking out are almost picking up a steam and an energy, and they're taking back their power. And it's kind of creating this atmosphere where there's an energy where of strength in the room, as opposed to kind of a down feeling.
Definitely, and you know, I think it's been quite remarkable to see how many survivors have come forth, and I think, Katie, that they're gaining courage as the days go by here, and we see many and many survivors come forth and gaining courage from one another to do so. As far as the mood goes, and you sensing a shift, are you also sensing a shift of courage and maybe a bit of an annoyance due to maybe Luana K. Simon still being the president of Michigan State University? What's the chatter been like as it comes to that?
Yes, I have definitely noticed. Can you still hear me okay?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Yes, I have definitely noticed more and more are calling out against MSU, against USAG. Some are naming Luana Simon by name, saying things like, you know, they don't think she should be president anymore. She should step down. I think for many of these victims, it's not even whether she knew. It's the fact that it happened on her watch and that it could go on for so long. Yeah, I am definitely sensing, I think annoyance would be too mild. It's real anger.
Right. Certainly. And now, Katie, for our listeners out there, can you kind of give us an update on how many more victim impact statements we are scheduled to hear throughout the week? And is there a timetable? Are we going to see a sentencing come down today, or do you think this thing will push into tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, when it started out, the first report was that 88 victims would be giving statements, and every single day there has been an increase. As of this morning, we were told that we're expecting to now hear from 155. By my count, we have heard from 138. So the sentencing is not expected today, maybe not even expected tomorrow. There's always a chance that more could come forward. Many of these victims are saying that the women who are speaking out these past few days are inspiring them, so some more are stepping forward. So it's definitely possible that this could even go to Thursday, it seems like to me.
So around how many victim impact statements are we scheduled to hear this week before the sentencing comes down, Katie? Is there a specific number? Because I know it keeps changing by the daily, it feels like.
Yeah, exactly. We're 155 are expected now. That's the count as of right now.
Okay, as of right now. And you know, for you, Katie, you've been covering these sentencing hearings dating back to the beginning of them last week, and you've sat through them, and you've been updating our listeners on Twitter at WKAR News. And after each and every survivor comes forth, Judge Rose Marie Aquilina, she is provided in some way a very therapeutic conclusion to each and every single one of these statements. In many ways, can you speak to that, Katie? You know, this being a therapeutic moment for these survivors and how Judge Rose Marie Aquilina has handled this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would even say you could credit her with part of the reason for that shift that I was talking about. She has taken time to speak to each and every one of them, and there's been so many victim statements. So taking the time to listen and then respond specifically to something that they said, and then to encourage them, assure them their voice has been heard. You know, many of the victims have spoken about struggling with mental illness, suicidal thoughts, and anyone who has mentioned that, she has given a firm, you know, almost a command, like do not ever think about suicide. That you are stronger than that. She says things like, you know, your voice belongs, has to stay here. Don't let your voice be silenced. The suicide is never the answer. So she's really taking it seriously, and she seems to see herself as having responsibility for encouraging and reassuring these girls and women.
If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with our very own Katie Cook, who has been following the Larry Nassar sentencing hearings since the beginning, since last week. Katie, you know, we saw at one point last week Larry Nassar write a 6-page single-space letter saying that he can't sit through these impact statements. It's taken a toll on him emotionally and his health. And to that, you know, Judge Rosemary Aquilina basically said, a direct quote, this isn't worth the paper that it's written on. As far as Larry Nassar, his demeanor is concerned in court, have you noticed a change at all throughout these past 6 days?
You know, I haven't noticed much variance. The first day, I think he was looking down quite a bit. Several of the victims called him out and said, you know, look me in the eye. One coach who was standing with the victim during a statement, he kind of yelled out to Larry, look at her, referring to the woman who's giving a statement. He seems to just, from what I can tell, he's mostly looking at the victims. Occasionally he has cried during some of the more emotional ones when they direct their comments right at him and they look at him. But that's about all I've observed.
For you, Katie, you know, covering a story of this magnitude from the standpoint of a journalist, I mean, what has this been like for you?
Oh, it's been pretty tough. But I have to say, it's an honor as well to be in the room with all these victims who are speaking about the most horrible thing that's ever happened to them, their most vulnerable time in their lives. It's really an honor to be there and report on it and to get to meet some of these women. But it has been, it's a little discouraging to sit through all this and to realize how much damage was done and how much went on, and to see a lot of the themes repeated and really seeing how this played out and how so many were manipulated and fooled. It's disheartening. But as I said, as the mood has changed, as the shift has happened and these women have begun calling themselves an army of survivors, it does help you to take heart and to know that that even the worst thing that happens to you can turn and face it and overcome it.
Katie, in what way do you see parallels between what we're seeing right now in the Larry Nassar sentencing and the Me Too movement?
I've thought a lot about that and the timing of it all, with just what our country is going through, and just coinciding with covering this case. I think the takeaway for me is just that the strength in numbers. What I have heard from so many victims is that they feel so alone and so scared. They feel immediate shame when something like that happens to them. They blame themselves, and they isolate themselves because of that fear and shame. So when people speak out and realize they're not alone anymore, it allows that shame to go away. And I've seen that in the Me Too movement, in Hollywood, all over the country, and it's very true also in this courtroom.
Yeah, without a doubt, Katie. And, you know, yesterday we saw the leadership of USA Gymnastics step down. I'm curious, have any of the survivors since this morning that have issued statements today, have they alluded to that change at USA Gymnastics? And if so, is that any kind of solace for those?
I haven't heard anyone refer to that specifically. Mm-hmm. However, I am kind of tweeting constantly, and sometimes when I'm writing, I might miss a comment. There have been continued calling out of USAG and of MSU, as I said, but I don't recall hearing any comments about those members stepping down.
Gotcha. I just was curious. All right, Katie. Well, I know you are very busy and have been doing an outstanding job considering how heavy this story is. Katie, for all of our listeners out there, how can they follow your work? And I assume you guys will have something for All Things Considered later on this afternoon, right?
We will. We'll have a brief kind of recap of the day this afternoon. I'm tweeting from WKAR The Count, which is at WKAR News. I would think that would be the best way to follow us. And then we're posting our stories to our website, WKAR.org.
All right. And Katie, there's no timetable as far as when today's victim impact statements will end, right?
there really is no clear, there's no clear day. And remember, initially, this was thought to have to end, this was scheduled to end on Friday. Now, I mean, I would think tomorrow or Thursday at this point.
Gotcha. And as far as today goes, is there a specific time as far as, you know, the statements will end at 5:30 or 6, or it's just kind of whenever, you know, Judge Rosemary Aquilina just kind of makes that call?
Yeah, she makes the call, and it also depends on the prosecutors. You know, they have been working really hard to schedule all of these testimonies. You know, so many of the women and girls are coming from out of town, so they can only speak on certain days. So there have been some days where, you know, yeah, even though there's more women set to give a statement, they might not be in court that day. So court has ended anywhere from, I want to say, 4 to 5-ish, just about every day, just depending on the schedule.
Okay, Katie, can you describe what kind of scenes you have been seeing throughout these few days, coming out of court, in court?
Yes, I've definitely seen some, I've observed kind of some things repeating with a lot of these victims. So many of them, and including their parents, their families, felt so lucky to be seeing Nasser. You have to remember how renowned he was. He was an Olympic doctor. So these girls, you know, look up to him. He's treated their heroes. And I've had questions from friends asking me, you know, how could so many just accept that he was doing these kinds of things? But he just had their total trust because of his stature, his experience, his reputation. Many of the girls saw him as a hero. A couple girls today have spoken, a couple women have spoken today about wanting to pursue medicine, looking up to him as a hero. Some have now been discouraged from doing that because of what he's done to them, but actually some have then gone the other direction and have become empowered. One young lady today said that she would take Nasser's job.
Wow.
Another thing that has been continuing theme is how nice Nasser was to all of these girls when they were, you know, 8, 10, 12 coming to see him. He would give them candy, postcards, gifts. He would like their social media posts. You know, and the girls, some of these young women have talked about how the fear that they had of their coaches when they were training, because gymnastics is such a serious sport and you have to be tough. And Nasser would come in and be a very kind, gentle, friendly, caring adult. And so that was another way that he was able to gain their trust.
Yeah, and you heard that a lot, especially at the Caroli Ranch when it comes to USA Gymnastics. You know, he would play the good cop. In relation to the Carolis bad cop, because they were very intense, and that's how Nasser manipulated a lot of these young gymnasts. And I know that Katie, that one of the survivors actually brought some gifts to court and threw them in the trash bag, I believe, during her statement.
Yes, she had, let's see if I can remember. I think she had some Band-Aids. I can't remember what else. Mm-hmm. But I believe that was Isabel, and she talked about how he called her Izzy, and she had different gifts from him. So, yeah, that was the first victim I've seen bring things in to show that were from Nasser.
Wow, and many, of course, are dealing with this in different ways as they use this opportunity as a way to just kind of just, you know, get a huge monkey off of their back and just kind of use this as a therapeutic moment. I know that a poem was also read in court today, right, Katie?
Yes, yes. This was a victim who we heard a statement of hers actually yesterday in court, and then she wrote a poem that the Attorney General's office read today. And I believe we have that recorded that we're going to post to our website.
Certainly.
Very powerful.
Right. I can only imagine. And I know that there's also, and I've been seeing this picture float around on social media as well, but there's also a therapy dog for many of the survivors in court as well, right?
Yes, yes. I don't know if it's a he or a she, but it's an adorable dog. It's been here for several days that I've seen out here in the hallway. There is therapy for anyone who wants it.
Katie, thank you so much. Keep up the outstanding work. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Al.
And speaking of that poem that Katie just talked about, I want to play that poem right now. It came this morning as Prosecutor Angela Povilaitis read the poem written by an anonymous survivor and was called Victim 138 in court. This poem, it goes about 4 minutes. I want to play it here on the show to kind of put in context just how powerful these statements have been throughout these past 6 days of sentencing hearings. This comes from our very own Katie Cook.
That particular victim, victim 138, did ask me a special favor to read a poem on her behalf. I'm asking the court for permission to do that. I know we've already spoken on her behalf, but if I might, it's relatively brief and I think an important thing she'd like the world to hear. Mm-hmm. Victim 138 poem. Have you ever lost your mind? Have you ever lost yourself? Have you ever felt there was no way out that you could find? Have you ever been fighting yourself awake from a nightmare that doesn't end? Have you ever been scared to close your eyes at night? Have you ever lost your perfect childhood or a close friend? Have you ever lost trust? Or have you gazed upon your life? The dreams you once had that slowly turned to dust. Have you ever been a child with a secret to tell? Have you ever felt ashamed and embarrassed? Have you ever wanted to end your life so your mind would stop the hell? Have you ever felt like it's easier to hide it all inside? To sit alone and cry at night due to the fear of being brushed aside? Fighting is the answer, even though it won't make it right. Not only fighting for yourself, but for those little ones you tuck in at night. Yes, it's hard to tell my childhood story, or at least the parts I wish I could undo. But this is the real me. I'm not just a victim. I'm me because of you. Because of you, I'm anxious. Because of you, I'm sad. Because of you, I'm up all night thinking how you were my second dad. Because of you, I'm ashamed that it took me so long to realize. Because of you, I've hidden and locked all my emotions inside. Because of you, I write this while I should be asleep. But my mind cannot stop thinking of the thing you did to me. From the time I was 8 through 33 years old, you were in my life. A doctor, a friend, a second father, a person I confided in to make everything all right. I think now about your treatments and it makes me sick. It's like reliving my life and seeing everything in slow motion, and suddenly everything clicks. Sometimes I feel worse for you than me. At first, I didn't want to come forward, but I see mother's tears, speak to my father in heaven, and look down at my daughter, and I know I'm also doing this for my family. I'm not doing this for you. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this to bring awareness and for the entire world to see. My scars will remain with me as I remember the things I went through, but my reason behind me coming forward is so my baby doesn't have to grow up being subjected to people like you. As I sit here in tears, my words are gone, my mind consumed with anxiety. What you took from me and so many others was our youth and innocent years. I hope and pray daily that myself and the hundreds of survivors find a way to heal. But I am also thankful that justice will be served, but there will not be another childhood for you to steal. That is survivor victim number 138.
Thank you.
Talk about powerful. Let's hit our final break. I see we've got two mics on line one and two, two callers that want to chime in. Don't go anywhere, guys. I'm going to get to your calls. I want to hit our brief second break here. We'll come back with your calls and we'll put a bow on this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Ah! Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Throughout this hour, we have been discussing day six of the Larry Nassar sentencing hearings. I began the show by addressing the comments from Michigan State trustee Joe Ferguson as he was a guest on Stout on Sports WVFN, making comments saying that the board basically met for 5 hours, talked about the leadership of Luana Simon, President Luana Simon, for just 10 minutes, and then went on to say that there are more things going on than just this Nassar thing. We've been taking your calls. So far, we've had three callers call in, and we've got two mics. How about that? You know, the coincidence of that, right? Let's go to line one right now. We've got Mike that wants to chime in. Mike, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. What's on your mind?
Welcome, Al Martin. Thanks for taking my call. When I'm listening to Ollie Rasmussen, I really was really touched by her testimony, man. It was just moving to hear that. You know, I don't have a lot of faith in institutions because that's just one of the reasons. They supposed to be a role model. They always tell the youth about being a role model for other youth and everything, but the adults failed them, and they really failed them. And I'm just disappointed, man. You know, our judicial system, our education system, it's all, you know, if this can go on in our educational system, could you imagine what's going on in our other institutions? I mean, it's just so underwhelming and overwhelming at the same time. And all I want to say is, you know, I would like to get on here and talk about sports and pop culture and all that stuff, but this is just too serious, man. It's just too heavy. So I just want to say, man, you know, just have your basic instructions before leaving Earth. That's all I got to say, man. Thanks for taking my call, and you have a good day.
Mike, thank you so much. Well said, and yeah, I have to echo that thought. I mean, when covering this and when kind of trying to wrap your head around how something like this could happen. And looking at history, I mean, you think about Baylor, you think about Penn State. You can't help but think about how far and how deep does the rabbit hole go. Where else could this be happening? It's a thought that's crossed my mind many, many times. Mike, thank you so much. Let's go to another Mike on line two. Mike, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. What's on your mind?
Thanks, Al. I'm an alum of Michigan State, and I just recently moved back to Michigan, although I've been following this when I was living out of state. And quite frankly, we at Michigan State have failed these young women and girls. And quite frankly, after hearing Joel Ferguson and the, calling it tone deaf is being very charitable, mm-hmm. And I think it's time for the citizens and the voters, when the next election comes up, to the board or up for re-election. And we ought to vote for somebody else. I don't care if they're Democrats or Republicans. I am rarely a single-issue voter, but this is what I'm going to look at when the trustees come up for re-election, if they have the temerity to run again after what they failed to do. That's all I have to say.
Mike, thank you for your call, and thank you to everyone who has chimed in, either by calling, and I see many of you also commenting on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports on the live stream. And, you know, in that same conversation that Mike just brought up, when it comes to President Luana Simon still in leadership, I know that that many individuals are you know, have reached out to other areas of leadership around the area. Many have even, you know, called out Governor Rick Snyder to see if he can even do something. And Rick Snyder has basically said, look, it's not in my wheelhouse. The call for Snyder to act came with a majority of course, the MSU Board of Trustees standing behind President Luana Simon amid complaints that she and the university should have moved more quickly to stop this, these years of abuse of young gymnasts by Larry Nassar. And Snyder's spokeswoman said Snyder does not have the power to do so, partly because of autonomy granted to state university boards. But state constitutional experts are split on the question, and no Michigan Supreme Court case or attorney general's opinion directly addresses it. This is coming from Article 5, Section 10 of the Michigan Constitution. This is coming from directly, you know, the article that addresses Governor Rick Snyder possibly doing something to remove Luana Simon. Quote, the governor shall have power and it shall be his duty to inquire into the condition and administration of any public office and the acts of any public officer, elective or appointive. He may remove or suspend from office for gross neglect of duty or for corrupt conduct in office or for any other misfeasance therein any elective or appointive state officer except legislative or judicial and shall report the reasons for such removal or suspension to the legislature. So basically, the president of Michigan State is hired by the board and can be fired by the board. A university president is not elected by voters nor appointed by the governor. So there is where that conversation stops. Because Luana Simon was not elected by voters and the board, that's where the buck stops, at least according to the office of the governor. So this conversation will continue on tomorrow's Current Sports. Tomorrow, it looks as though the Larry Nassar sentencing hearing will continue throughout the week. It may end tomorrow. It may, you know, go until the end of the week. We're not sure. But you can assure this, WKAR will be there covering it. We will be there providing dialogue and allowing you the platform to let your voice be heard. Much thanks to all of our listeners out there, all of the callers who called in, all of those watching via Facebook and commenting below the live stream. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, try to have a better Tuesday afternoon. We'll see you same time, same place tomorrow, folks. I'm Al Martin. Be easy, people.